Do you think you work best with like simplicity? Like you mentioned a lot of
Yes.
like examples. So
Yeah.
what about the, you know, other thing in your dream scenario, what are the only things on a record? Like what's or on a song, you know,
Okay.
a song.
Well, I
What's the
mean,
core that can't be stripped away for you?
it could be anything. It could be anything, but I find myself often like my favorite record by an artist is one usually with like very little production. Sometimes there's no drums on it. Sometimes there's, not like the instrument I play, like I necessarily care about hearing, like a Dylan record, like a really old one that is just mostly just him. Like I'm like, oh, it's not better than that. No offense to my dad who played on Dylan records. That
Your
one's
father played
awesome.
on Dylan records?
Yeah.
Really? Which ones?
The most known recording would probably be Hurricane, or
Really?
Desire. He
Oh
played on
my God.
Desire. He's playing congas on that.
That's wild.
Yeah.
You ever get to meet Bob?
Unless I did when I was really tiny, no. But I heard plenty of stories.
Your place.
Yeah.
Any ones you can share?
Oh man, my dad was on the Rolling Thunder review. If you know that one, it's like that's just a wild tour. Dylan was. I think the cool parts about it. Some of the cool parts are he was tired of, he was such a big star at that point. He felt like his fans didn't necessarily get tickets to his shows because everything was becoming expensive and would sell out right away. So he decided to do a tour but not book it ahead of time. And he just got some buses, put the band together. Because him and Rob Stoner put the band together, and they would just, as I know the story, show up in a town like the night before, and just say, "Hey, we want to play your venue here, like your, Veterans Hall or something like."
Yeah.
And they would just put posters up that Bob Dylan playing tomorrow night, and so. It was very, to use the term, freewheeling, and like, by the seat of their pants. And on that tour, he kept adding artists and buses, like just like pick up people, and then suddenly Joni Mitchell's on the tour, and Allen Ginsberg's on the tour, and like everybody's on the tour, and it was, so it was like this crazy social hang and wild tour,
It's crazy. Is that something like, is there any off the wall ideas that you would ever want to do as an artist? Anything like a tour where you got no direction in mind?
I have fairly ambiguous ideas that I haven't really locked down of because I dance a lot. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but like I teach dance.
Really?
My wife and I teach casino and salsa. Casino is often called Cuban salsa. But just through that world and interacting with music that way, I would love to incorporate that heavily for the audience into a set, as well as participating in rhythms in the music more than just clapping along every once in a while. Which goes to your question of, which I think this started out with a while ago, of what are the elements that you can't get away from in music? And there's like there's a style of music that I really like, Cuban rumba, and I huanco, and in huanco it's just percussion and vocals. Man, music does not need any more than that. When that is ha when anything's grooving that hard, you do not need anything else, and all the space is wonderful. That said, I love guitars and keyboards and bass, but I love the simplicity of it too. I think that's and the rhythmic grooving nature of it. So I would just and there's something our culture doesn't have a lot of participation either. In dance socially, at least not white people. So social dances, that's like hardly anyone knows how to do those anymore, like partner dancing. But even just dance as a celebration and a ritual. And dance classes are for kids, you know, and then adults, unless they like to go to concerts and dance, they don't really dance. So I would love to incorporate that, as well as I think everyone can play and sing and do music. It's just like we're not raised with that as part of our culture. And man, there's it's very healing for people to do that. So I'd like to incorporate that.
I remember hearing one time one of my, like, I took choir in high school, and the teacher said, you know, singing and dancing is like running. Everybody can do it. It's just a matter of how good you are at it.
Yeah.
And do you find that there's a level that people need to cross for them to be more comfortable dancing and doing that stuff? Do you find that there's a switch that needs to be flipped? Because, like, I think the average person isn't maybe comfortable or think they're capable of dancing. So is there something, some threshold that they need to cross, do you think?
It depends on the person. Because, like, a little, in a way, no, because a little kid can do it. And a little kid can play and sing music, and it's perfect. It's just what it should be. Like, but I was that person who, I grew up on the bandstand on stage. I did not step foot. I did not dance until I was an adult.
Really?
Like, I was deathly afraid of dancing, which is probably why I got so into it once I conquered that fear of it. Why it made such a difference to me. But yeah, so I was one of those people. Like, it was not in my culture. And I was really afraid of dancing. And then my wife, we went to the Dominican Republic and we took some little dance lessons on the beach. We did some bachata lessons. And then we got back home and she's like, I really want to take salsa lessons. And I was like, okay, I'll go with you. And so we went week after week. I was kicking and screaming. Every week, I did not want to go and be bad at, because I was used to being good at art from the time I was little. Mm-hmm. I was like the one who's really good at the art, you know?
Yeah.
And here I was. I was terrible. I was terrible at dancing. I got it. And salsa requires you know a vocabulary. It's a language. But once I finally got over myself and went to a social, which everyone told me to do, and just dance with people, which I was afraid. I was like, no, I'm going to get good first. They're like, no, you're not. Like, you have to go, and that's going to make you get good. You just have to go and suck and dance with a lot of people. When I finally did that, I was so hooked.
Really?
Yeah, because you are basically dancing duets with different people all night. You're improvising. It's like a full-body improvisation with music and another person. It's just like a beautiful connection. It breaks the boundaries of physical connection. We don't really touch much in our culture, except like with your lover. That's it. Like, otherwise you don't really touch, you know, you pat your bro on the back.
That's that.
Yeah, that's that. So it was like really opened my world, and it was whole opened my world to new cultures, new language, and the language of dance. So, I don't know.
You mentioned it being like a full body, like, experience kind of thing. Do you feel the same way when you're on stage doing music? And is that, if it is it the same use of your full body, or is it a different feeling?
It's a different feeling, but it can be very much, it can be very much the same. And it should be. And dancing has informed me with my music, because my music has been a professional thing for so long. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I put pressure on myself since I was pretty young to perform at that. But dancing started as an adult, and I got to watch myself as it was like a third space. It was not, for a long time, it wasn't professional. And it became professional. And I also saw what that did to my experience of it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it made me aware that I was missing out on some of the joy I originally had in music. Because dancing, and I was like, you know, I couldn't believe I'd become this person who would just be like, no one on the dance floor, that's me. You want to dance? Let's go. Like, you know, I had no problem asking, going to an unfamiliar city somewhere in Europe and meeting everyone, asking them to dance. Like, And it was just with so much joy, like that connection, just the joy of connecting in the moment to just that life between the two of you, between the music moving in the air, like, and so, yeah, you should have that with music too. And it is a full body experience. Like, even if you're playing an instrument that mostly you're just your fingers touch some keys or something, I mean, your whole body's involved, your breathing's involved, you can dance with it.
Do you feel like that kind of the love for that you're describing, do you feel it growing every time you do it, or do you find it to be maybe a little repetitive at times?
In music or dance? You
mean? Music or, yeah.
Well, yeah, it goes through phases, and it's night to night, and it's moment to moment. And I think once you've done it long enough, at least for some of us, the only thing to really think about is to notice where you're at. Like, the music's happening. Like, you're playing the music. Thinking about what you're going to play next is a complete waste of time. Like, your conscious brain is really way too slow to do all the cool things that you can actually do. Like, it's kind of, but you just kind of realize where you're at. Like, ooh, everything's feeling hard. I'm feeling like I can't hear. I'm annoyed with my in-ear mix. Mm-hmm. Okay, where am I at? Like, how am I feeling? Where is this in my body? Can I breathe? Can I just get curious about the sounds and where I'm at? And kind of sometimes I look at the lights in the room, and that'll like bring me back. But I think you go through stages too, where it's like all joy, you're just excited about it. And then, like, I noticed myself with dance. Oh, and then I got a level of expertise with it. Mm-hmm. And, like, I started teaching, and people start looking up to you. And then you feel like you've got to be somebody. Like, when you dance, people are watching you. Mm-hmm. And you've got to represent, and you've got to... Oh, that, then the joy is gone.
When the pressure sets in.
Yeah, yeah. And you still might, you know, do some, you know, hot dance moves, but you're not really connecting with your partner. You're not really letting loose in the moment, and you're not even modeling what you should be modeling. You'll look back and if people videoed you, you'll see you're not smiling. So,
how do you kind of disperse those expectations when you feel them setting in? Is there anything you do to make them go away?
You schedule therapy.
Not bad advice.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think there's one solution, but over time, like, you get different little mantras to tell yourself. If you can remember to remember, you know, then you, like, this week, I'll tell you what it is this week on stage. It's someone talked about curiosity. And so I just like try to get really curious. I mentioned that a few minutes ago. Just get really curious about the moment. That's what I've been doing this week. That word comes to mind. In fact, I wanted to paint it on one of my instruments so I just see it.
Yeah.
But I remember last week I put a little, preparing for the tour, I put a little riddle sign, put it on my rig, and it said, I think, smile, like smile with your body. And when I think of that, my posture gets better. My posture tends to smile, and my chest comes up, and I tend to breathe in. I smile with my face. And I realize, like, what are you practicing? Are you practicing being stressed out and worried about screwing something up and not having your chops up for this tour? Because that's how you're going to feel on the tour. No matter if you practice that for, you know, 1,000 hours before the tour, you will still not feel ready for the tour, no matter how good your chops are. That's what you practiced. So, like, try to practice letting it flow and being curious and interested in the sounds as they happen, rather than trying to turn yourself into a machine, being constantly looking for your own faults. Because I can do that. I'm good at that. I spent years doing that. I can play like a machine. I know how to.
But it's better if you let it flow.
Yeah, and you can. There's machines. I mean, you can just have it, tell AI to do it now, and it can make you machine music.
It's not good music.
It's not good music, but it sounds, honestly, it sounds like lackluster music, and a lot of people make lackluster music because they're trying to treat themselves like machines. Like, that's not we're lucky. That's not what our fans want. At least not with the Wood Brothers. Like, they want to hear, like, have a human. You know, they always say, "God, you guys sound so honest." I think it's, we just let ourselves be what we are. You know,
yeah.
Warts and all.